Wisconsin I is still getting reaction to Governor Walker's $68 billion budget. $31 million of that would come from state tax revenues. We're talking to Jerry Duchesne, Executive Director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, with how many members?
Just under 600, all the cities and about 400 villages in Wisconsin.
Okay. When I go through a summary of how state tax revenues help local governments, there's, let me just read off some of the items. There's expenditure restraint, there's county and muni aids, payments for municipal services, county and municipal aid for police and fire protection fund. All this is lumped under shared revenue, isn't it, Jerry?
Yes, yep.
Well, were you afraid with a potential $2.2 billion deficit that you guys were going to get more than a haircut, a pretty deep cut in this budget?
I have no fingernails, yes.
We were a bit nervous.
But to answer the question you're going to ask next, no, he didn't cut those.
Right. And that amounts to, I think, what, $850 a year?
Yeah, about $850 million a year.
Okay. He didn't cut it.
Correct.
For that, you are giving thanks.
For that, we are very grateful to the governor. We think we're being treated very fairly.
Had you hoped for an upper or realistically in a budget deficit scenario?
I mean, when you're looking at the university taking a $300 million haircut, I mean, in a $2 billion structural deficit, 2.2, no, realistically, we didn't think we were going to get a grand upper there.
Okay.
So coming out even is a blessing.
Okay. This deals with your operating funds. Now let's talk about your public maintenance and your public works.
Mm-hmm.
Another key number that you guys watched is, what does the governor's budget do to your help to build and maintain streets?
Well, good news, bad news. I mean, the good news is he followed through on a commitment made in the last budget to fund a 4% increase in transit aids and general transportation aids. GTA is sort of it's the shared revenue of Blacktop.
A 4% upper.
Yeah, 4% upper. That was promised in the last budget but not funded, so they funded it.
Okay.
For the next 2 years, the governor's budget is proposing flat funding. There again, in this climate, flat funding is a pretty good deal. Our concern, Steve, is the way it's being paid for.
The $1.3 billion in bonding?
$1.3 billion in borrowing. It's not sustainable. That's the one area we hope to work with the legislature and the governor on. Is we've done a lot of talking about fixing the state's transportation system, not kicking the can down the road. Borrowing is kicking the can down the road. It's time. We've all talked about a lot of different solutions. We're willing to talk about even more if you've got some in your pockets. But it's time to come up with a good, solid, sustainable solution.
Well, the last time you were here with Mr. O'Connell of the counties and the ED of the towns.
Yeah, Mike Colas.
Yes, Mike Colas, who I also have invited to drop in later on. You guys advocated them. You backed Secretary Gottlieb's $751 million upper in tax and fees.
Yes.
Since then, Speaker Voss and Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald have said the gas tax increase is a non-starter. So what's your fallback position if you believe that the $1.3 billion in bonding is, to use your words, not sustainable?
Again, we're willing to look at any variety of options. We have asked numerous times to give local governments the authority under regional transportation
RTAs. Okay.
Not limited to transit. To transportation.
RTAs with taxing authority.
With taxing authority.
Would that be local additional sales tax, Jerry?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Local additional sales tax. In the past, we, not wild about it, but we'll support running that through a referendum process. The point is, Steve, you can't do this on borrowed money. Costs are going up. At some point, you have to find new revenue sources. We would hope and we believe the state needs to step up on the revenue side as well. I'm not going to speak for the Speaker or Representative Nygren. I did notice in the paper that Representative Nygren had said correctly, I think we all are, he was elected to solve problems, not kick them down the road.
Yes.
And to solve this problem, you need to look at revenue options.
Well, I don't mean to rain on your parade, but I have been in a press conference where Assembly Speaker Voss has said he's no fan of RTAs.
That is correct. He's made that clear to me, too.
Well, if RTAs with some levying capacity isn't an option, what's your plans B and C?
Well, go back and ask. Well, let me say it this way. Let me answer it this way and see if it works. I'm not necessarily a fan of paying higher gas prices or paying higher prices for eggs. But if you have to, you have to at some point. And I think at some point we all have to hold our nose a bit here. And I'm sure local governments are going to have to hold their nose on some things. I think we should all get together in a room and decide what we're all going to hold our nose on collectively.
R&D and groups like yours and others?
R&D, local, state. Be nice if the feds would
come
along
too.
Y'all come
down. Nobody leaves the room till we have a compromise?
Nobody leaves the room till we all suffer a little bit of pain.
All right.
But that's the way this one's going to come together. No one wants to take the pain that this is going to take, but I think we all recognize there's just no good option. That study that we put out, filling the potholes, we've got to get away from the idea that if we don't do anything, that saves money. Well, it doesn't. It costs $700 a year in increased auto maintenance if you don't take care of your local roads. That's documented. So we're, in effect, inflicting a $700 tax on our constituents already. I think it'd frankly be a whole lot better to inflict a $23 gas tax increase on them.
If we're sitting here in 2 years and the governor's $1.3 billion in bonding for transportation has gone through, what are the implications for your members, Jerry?
Unfortunately, I think local government will get the shortest end of the transportation stick. It's one thing to bond for these mega projects. It's one thing
to bond. The Zoo Freeway, the Hone, the Stillwater Bridge, and widening the interstate from Madison to Illinois. Excuse me.
But bond buyers aren't really wild about buying bonds so I can fill up a dump truck with salt. I mean, it's local road maintenance that we fear is going to get hurt the worst. There's a transportation coalition out there, and we're all hanging together. We recognize that you got to fix Main Street, you got to fix Park Avenue, and you've got to fix I-94. But at the end of the day, you can't bond for Main Street salting and plowing. And so the real fear is if we come to depend on bonding too much, mm-hmm. that's going to hurt the 9 out of 10 road miles that are local road miles.
Okay. Now let's go back to revenue sharing for a minute. The fact that he kept it at about 850, are your local municipalities seeing increased costs that if our shared revenue is stable, are they going to have to reduce any services, especially when you add the component the governor keeps in place, the spending and levy restraints to control property taxes?
I think the communities that are going to have breathing room are the communities where there's a lot of construction going on. You look at Verona with Epic. Because remember that the levy limit, not get out of jail card, but the increase is net new construction.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's cranes in your community, if you're putting up new taxable property, that will increase the amount of room you have under your levy cap. You know, for that community up in Marinette County, Wisconsin, where there's not been a new house in 10 years,
yeah.
that community's, well, they're going to have to keep their belt pretty tight. You know, this is Wisconsin, the land of the cheap. I think our local government officials can manage it. And we don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth. The governor had a budget deficit to balance. He came out of it without cutting shared revenue, and for that we are grateful. You know, we recognize people do want property taxes held low. So local governments, I think, can get by for a few more years. But I think some of those small towns where there's not much building going on are really going to be looking and hoping for a contractor to show up.
What's the next step that the league is going to take? Are you going to bring some of your elected officials up to talk to their local legislatures, which can be pretty powerful if you get 12 local officials in a room with a state senator and they're all his or her constituents? How are you going to try to put, you don't like the bonding, so how are you going to try to sell any plan B?
Well, I think the short answer is you're absolutely right. February 18th is our next legislative day. We're going to ask our mayors, our aldermen, our small-town Wisconsin city council members to come up and explain, diplomatically we hope, to their legislators that they need a little relief here.
Local constituents who live in the cities and villages that you represent, they care most about their emergency services, of
yes,
course.
Yes, absolutely.
Is an officer going to come? Is the fire department going to come? Are they beginning to get concerned about the state of their local streets and highways?
Yes. Without question, they are. Again, I don't have the report in front of me, but that report that we put out before, the quality of local streets in Wisconsin, taken sort of big picture, has been declining faster than the quality of state highways. That's going to start to get critical. There are a lot of mayors that are working overtime to make sure that that's not visible. So in a sense, they're their own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't keep doing that forever because the cost of asphalt has gone up, cost of concrete has gone up. I mean, cost of trucks goes up every year. Those things catch up with you after a while. I'm not here to preach gloom and doom, though. I think, you know, we can get through. It'll be tight. We can do it. But I do think we need to sit down at the big table and come up with a lasting solution.
Okay. These local officials, then, are they going to be up? You expect them to be up lobbying?
Yep. Yeah, they will be here on February 18th, then again in May.
Okay. Is there anything? Now, we've talked about a lot of different areas that, as it relates to your members and the governor's budget. Any little other thing you want to mention that you want to praise or not praise?
One praise and one oops. There's a historic rehabilitation tax credit that the legislature enacted and the governor signed last year, and there was tremendous marketplace consumption of it. And this is a
tax flavor of the month, much so that Wiedek had to put a limit on it. But I interrupted you. Go ahead and tell your story.
And Wiedek put a limit on it, but then in his budget, the governor put an even tighter limit of $10 million a year.
Statewide. A cap on it.
And it's going to have to be competitive.
Okay.
The problem with competitive is that doesn't work at the pace of the marketplace. So if you've got a developer that's debating building a brand new building somewhere or taking a chance that maybe he'll get this historic rehab tax credit to, you know, build that more expensive but kind of cool looking thing downtown, you know, we're afraid that with that cap, you're going to see more of these buildings and less of these buildings. Again, not fatal. The governor preserved the program, and we're going to make it work however it comes.
Was that the oops?
No.
Okay.
The budget proposes eliminating the local insurance fund. This is one of those obscure little things tucked way back in government that are very important, but nobody knows. Well, years ago, when the insurance market was tight, and insurance markets do that, they sort of, they expand and they contract. Well, years ago, it got very tight, and many local governments could not get certain kinds of insurance. So the state stepped in and said, basically, we'll set up this insurance pool. Not for profit. Nobody's making a killing on it. Well, the governor's budget proposes doing away with it. What I don't know that they've realized, I met with the insurance company's manager this morning. She tells me that pool insures Lambeau Field.
Oh.
It provides the terrorism coverage. And that's sort of emblematic of what it does. It provides those oddball coverages that the marketplace just doesn't deliver as efficiently.
Who would pick up coverage of Lambeau Field if the governor's provision became law?
Well, I hope somebody does.
DOA or something?
Well, no. They'd have to go into the insurance marketplace or self-insure.
Oh.
We're still evaluating it.
That's one of these private sector arguments.
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
Okay.
And our argument would be that because we have relationships with a lot of insurance companies who direct people to that pool. Because while they're perfectly comfortable with work comp or fire or wind, you know, maybe insuring the Mitchell Park domes, I'm just picking that out of the hat, it's just too odd. And the insurance market doesn't know how to price that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the sorts of things that can end up back in that pool. We're still looking into it. It may not be a big deal, but they have over 900 insureds. That's 900 communities out there that are going, oh, wait a minute. What's this all about?
Right. So. Two other things I want to ask you about. My understanding, and I haven't gone real deep on this, the governor would like counties to do assessments instead of locals. Mm-hmm. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Now, this is an old issue. What's the position of the league on that?
I don't know yet. We have to think about it. Governor Doyle had proposed this as well. The goal is a good one. It's to get more
standardized?
Yeah, well, more standardized, more uniform.
Uniformity, that's a better term,
Jerry. And I think what they were concerned about was from community A to community B, you know, a three-bedroom ranch, they were getting some, you know, radically different numbers on. And this is an attempt to smooth that out. Larger communities that have their own assessment staff, cities of 30,000 or more population, mm-hmm. can continue to do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have to ask ourselves is, do the small communities want to continue to contract this out? Is contracting it out, is it getting us the results we need?
Okay.
I have to talk to my own people on it. We just haven't had a chance to talk to them yet.
And then the final thing I want to ask you about, there's been a study committee chaired by Representative Loudenbeck and Senator Gudex on TIF laws.
Yes.
I don't think the governor recommended any major, in his budget, recommended any changes in TIF laws?
That's correct.
Okay.
It's at least the one I read at 10 o'clock last night, I didn't see anything.
Is that a potential big deal for your members? If changing the decades-old rules under which TIFs have been created and operated?
We've been working with Senator Gudex and Representative Loudenbeck on that TIF legislation. We expect it to be introduced as separate legislation, and we'll support it there.
Okay. In sum, grade the governor's budget.
Well, and it should be on a curve because this is a really tough time fiscally. I'd have to give him a B-.
Very good.
Good on shared revenue, good on levy limits, or at least we can live with it. Needs a little bit more improvement in transportation aids.
In terms of permanent funding sources.
How you pay for it.
Okay. Jerry DeShane, Executive Director, League of Wisconsin Municipalities. Thanks for stopping by.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks.